All right, hey everybody, welcome back to our podcast Around the Mic on Sojo 104.9. I'm your afternoon host, Heather DeLuca. With me is midday host Chelsea Corinne, and I have to remember now. Ooh, hello. Okay. Might be my headphones.
We're on camera now. I have to remember.
Yeah, I have to remember to wave hello to the camera. So you can actually watch our recording this podcast on Sojo 104.9 on YouTube. Chelsea dressed for the occasion today.
This is the look of I haven't done laundry in a long time, so I'm going into the nicer clothes because I dress in my head. I would love to dress nicer all the time, but I am a hot mess and lazy. So this is when all right, let me pull out this. But I love bodysuits or jumpsuits because they're just easy and you can be lazy wearing one piece. But this is the I haven't done laundry, so let's get creative on what I have.
I buy that. But I think also you know we were recording today.
No, I forgot. I had some makeup on in the bathroom. I put some eyeliner mascara on in the bathroom right before we recorded.
I did not really dress for the occasion. I sort of did. It's whatever. So we're here today, and I want to start with something I thought wound up being like one of the worst publicity stunts I've ever heard. If my saying that I've ever heard in reference to the Kardashians.
Okay.
So over last weekend, prior to the Golden Globe Awards, just to give you a frame of reference, Kris Jenner and Kendall Jenner were posting to all their social media accounts that there was some big announcement coming, some super raw, personal, private struggle that was going to be revealed to all of Kendall's fans, the world. And so social media was beginning to try to like predict what this is. And it was coming from like a very worrisome point of view, just because the family was making it sound like this was like urgent. You know, they had to like, you know, she had to put this out there. So fans were speculating that, you know, I was thinking, is she dyslexic? Does she have, you know, is she going to come out and say she's got like body dysmorphia because she's a model, or did something, was she pregnant? Like a million things were running through my head.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the Golden Globe red carpet on Sunday night, and here comes Kendall Jenner, her face very close up, panned in. She's looking like the saddest puppy dog on earth. And she starts to, you know, speak like she's starting the reveal. And I'm like, I'm sitting there at my TV, like, what's she going to say? Like, what is it? And then she talks about how she went to the Golden Globes for the first time last year and walked the red carpet. And, you know, she was felt so confident in the gown that she wore. And, you know, she was strutting down the red carpet and felt, you know, amazing, only to get back home and look on her social media and the Twitterverse ripping her for having a blemish on her face.
See, and you have taken, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I didn't really give my opinion. I just said I disagree with you on how you're approaching this.
But I need to explain why. I was like, if you've ever seen A Christmas Story?
Yes.
The movie. When Ralphie, he is, you know, he's collecting all these clues, right?
The
orphan Annie clues. Yes.
Well, that's the end of it.
Spoiler alert.
And
he thinks he's going to solve, like, some great mystery, right? It turns out that the cryptex is telling him, drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah.
So it's an ad. And it's a big letdown because you're like, that's it. That's it. Like, they have to zoom in with the longest lens possible to notice this discrepancy on her face. And it's not like she was coming out saying, like, I really need to share this with my family and friends. This is, like, a lifelong struggle, or, like, that she had cystic acne. Did it lead to some sort of health issues with her now? No. It immediately goes to, but I tried Proactiv. It just came across as so disingenuous, and what it made me feel like, if she had just done a Proactiv ad and was their new spokesperson, that's not my issue. Several celebrities have done that in the past. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it was the
lead up to it, making you think it was going to be serious. And I get you on that. I do understand it was, and I feel like I blame a lot of the media, like social media, I blame social media for sensationalizing a lot of things. And I feel like the Kardashians are great at it. They are the pros. They are so good at sensationalizing.
Yes, and
things.
They are their own media. In this instance, I can't even blame the media for picking up like a tweet, a story that there was an announcement or like a reveal coming, because they were running the machine.
Well, I think it was more of it's the culture of the media nowadays. It's not like scaled back. Everything is big. And I get where it comes off disingenuous. But at the same time, I think of it as, well, these are a group of women that are in front of the cameras all the time. No matter if you say, you know, well, they chose that life. This is what they wanted for themselves. This is their own fault. But you're still getting people constantly berating them. And one can argue, and I say people love to hate the Kardashians, which is exactly what they feed off of to make their success. But I can't imagine that, you know, once in a while when they sit down at home and have like a real moment, it sometimes could be a little bit overbearing when you're scrolling through your feed, especially if she really did feel like really beautiful at that Golden Globes, and then you go home and your night is ruined by, and everybody has this, your night could be ruined by one comment.
Yes.
It only takes one person on a stupid thing to completely change your mood
and your
mind.
And I respect what you're saying, but what happened to me was, it was just another indication of, it made Kendall Jenner look so vapid and disconnected from reality, whereas she was trying to come across that she's just like us, and I can help you because here's how it helped me. It, to me, it just came across so disingenuous. It was just another example of how disconnected from reality this family, famous from a reality show, truly is. And I'm surprised that they were not more careful with this, and they couldn't see the forest from the trees after what happened with that Pepsi ad.
Yeah, which I still don't understand the upsetting about that, but that's another story.
Which Kendall Jenner was accused of being racially insensitive over one of Pepsi's, I think, worst ad campaigns ever. You can just Google that or check that out on YouTube if you want more on what we're talking about with the Pepsi ad. But I just think it didn't make her seem more real to me. It had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get it. If you're a model, you have pimple on your face on the red carpet. That's like bad.
Petrifying.
But listen, I have had this crater on my face for a week. Then this thing popped up under my eyeball this morning, probably because I rushed taking my makeup off before bed last night. But you don't hear me getting on the air and saying, oh, I'm just like you. I had a pimple today. I don't know.
I have these, well, we'll say I got these two right here, right above, like where my glasses rest for some reason. And I have had this little, I don't know what it is. It was a whitehead for months. Can't get rid of it. But I also don't pop pimples. I will let them sit there and get
same.
Big, and I will let them go because I don't want scars. So I'd rather live with them for weeks than pop it.
And I understand, like, you have a platform as a celebrity. We've seen Jessica Simpson do this.
Adam Levine,
Julianne Hough.
Katy Perry.
Yeah, but I
watch a lot of proactive commercials, apparently.
They do have a platform to say, you know, I wasn't always this famous and beautiful and rich, but
Kendall Jenner was.
There was just
the other ones weren't. Kendall
just
Jenner
something
always has
different.
Been.
And I know, like, it's so easy to pick on the Kardashians and bastardize everything that they do. No one's more into themselves than they are.
Yeah, sure.
Into them than they are into themselves. But I don't know. I didn't think that it made her seem more celebrities. They're just like us.
I didn't
get that.
But you're never going to have that when it comes to the Kardashians.
We're going to have to break for traffic here. We have SoJo traffic coming through the board, and we had to stop our conversation. It's like,
oh, we're good. We're on. Woo!
It's like when a train crosses the tracks, you have to like stop
and wait,
doing.
And it feels like it goes on forever.
Yeah. So, and that's just my point on the Kendall Jenner situation. I don't know. We're going to have to move this along.
I feel like out of all the Kardashians, though, if you were going to pick the one that is the most real, which one are you saying? Because I have one immediately, but because I'm also obsessed with the Kardashians, so I'm okay with admitting that. The most real. Really? I thought this was an easy question.
Kourtney?
Oh, really? No. I want to say Kourtney. Kourtney is Miss High and Mighty, I think.
Rob?
I would say Khloé. I think Chloe's the most real.
Yeah, I definitely get an authenticity from her. I hate to even say, like, I might even put Kylie below that.
Yeah, maybe. Chloe has always been the one that's made fun of their situation and will mock their situation. She's very self-aware. Kylie, though, yeah, maybe, especially after her period of time that she got real quiet and she wasn't on social media for a long time because she was pregnant. I'll give her that. Like, that was an awesome thing that she did and not really posting about her pregnancy.
She's extremely mature for all of, she's not even, is she 21 yet?
I think she's just barely 21, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, she's a billionaire businesswoman. I have mad respect for Kylie. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But you do see Chloe being the one to sort of, when there's drama between like Kim and Courtney and they're acting like complete divas, she's the one that calls them out and is like, you guys are ridiculous. Like, this needs to stop. Like,
I don't know. Courtney, I think, is like really pretty. I'll give her that. But she seems a little high and mighty for me. But
we know. We saw it firsthand.
I know.
We saw it firsthand when we were there for her appearance in Atlantic City. We won't say where. But
yeah, she's a lot.
Yes. But she's firstborn. I guess she gets to pull rank there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to move this party along to our next topic.
Which is completely different, and I'm so excited to talk about this.
My belly is growling.
Yeah, mine too.
Chelsea, I don't know. Chelsea's hungry. We're both hungry.
Yeah.
We're like gremlins. For a while. It's time. So switching gears to...
I'm so excited to talk about this because this is something that I am always afraid when I mention it to certain people so they don't think I'm a psychopath, but... characters in TV shows and movies that are psychopaths are always like so desirable and so charismatic, and you love them and you want them to get away with everything they're doing, no matter how awful it is what they're doing. Like, they could be slaughtering people. You could watch them slaughter an entire like family of people, and then they say one line and you're like, oh, but I forgive you.
And the first person that flashes through my mind right now is Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Never seen that.
You should.
Movie.
Reese Witherspoon's in the first one, but he is this like Lothario, but he's a psycho killer in a three-piece suit.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Christian Bale at the end of the day. But, you know, I do appreciate when there is someone who is shown to be very flawed. They're not just like Jason Voorhees picking up a machete and hacking people in some scary. It's not Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
You know, it's when they go into the criminal psychology.
I love going into the psyche. Yeah.
I think that what that does is that puts a redeeming quality on the killer. And then if they happen to have a modicum of charm and aren't so unfortunate to look at.
I know. Which is usually the case because they always make them an attractive person or a relatively attractive person. And they always make them a person that is charismatic because that's usually how they get away with whatever their crime of choice is.
So you just can't help but be sympathetic and somewhat attractive sometimes to television serial killers. Yeah. We're not saying that you are, you know, fawning over like Jeffrey Dahmer here.
No.
He's an actual crazy
about,
person.
Like characters on TV shows and movies like Raymond Reddington, James Spader, I find in that role to be so attractive.
In The Blacklist. Is in season 6 now, and I'm so nervous because they kicked it to Friday nights, which is always the kiss of death.
Know.
It's on NBC. It's so good. Some of the seasons have been better than others, but through and through, he's been this consistently amazing person. And I just, when he's on screen and he's working out his sort of plans, he's just always... one, two steps ahead. It's like everything's already been thought out and accounted for. Oh, man. He's just, I think it's the intellect behind the killings is that he's just so freaking smart.
And when he comes up with those stories of this reminds me of when blah, blah, blah. And he talks about some story, some elaborate over the top story. And you're just like, I just want you to keep talking.
Well,
like,
he's somebody, this character is somebody who can appreciate a private jet and a super expensive bottle of wine at the same time as he likes a street pretzel and like cotton candy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He sees the world. He's so like in the present, in the moment, and about enjoying life.
Yeah.
But he's also he's the FBI's
most wanted.
Most wanted. he's in bed with all of the terrorists. And
nobody could have played that role, I don't think, now as good as James Spader has owned that role so well.
I'm sorry. He's great in everything he's done. When he was on Boston Legal as Alan Shore.
I'm thinking Age of Ultron. He was in Avengers. He was.
Fine. Yeah. I go all the way back to... he was in Pretty in Pink with Molly Ringwald, yes. And he was Steph, and he was the worst of the worst. He was like that definite, privileged guy in high school that you just wanted to, bitch slap.
Can I tell you, I hate Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
Like, I hate that movie so much. Like, I hate Molly Ringwald in that
movie. I don't
movie
like
so
John
much.
Cryer, but he, Ducky,
oh, see,
Ducky for
bad.
Life.
I always feel bad for those characters. So I watched that movie thinking, ugh, you're the worst, Molly Ringwald. I can't. So much.
But James Spader, anyway. he's such a method actor. I don't think that he gets enough credit, accolades.
No.
They can't shower him with enough.
What about though, you even, because you watched The Fall.
The Fall was with Jamie Dornan and Gillian Anderson from The X-Files, and it was a 3-season limited run on Netflix. And it takes place in Ireland,
yes.
And Jamie Dornan plays like the BTK, like the bind, torture, kill kind of guy who he's a group counselor. He's a freaking psychologist.
I know. That's what makes him so much better.
And that's kind
he's
of how
so
he finds
twisted.
His victims, too. But, he's buff and he stays in shape so that he can overpower his victims. And they get onto him and then they chase him. You really need this. No one talks about this series
enough.
Much anymore because it was in the early days of Netflix. It crossed mm-hmm. over from, I think, the BBC.
It was a BBC show,
but,
yeah.
But it's definitely worth looking up. I think the first season is 7 episodes and then 6 and then 5. It's, like, really, really short. You don't want him to get caught.
No.
You want to see him without a shirt on.
Yeah.
It's even maybe a little sexy when he strangles someone. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So that's how he got the role of Christian Grose, because of that role. Because
no way.
Yeah. So
I thought that came
first.
After the
no.
fact.
He did The Fall first, and then it was 50 Shades. So if you watch, don't ever don't associate 50 Shades of Grey and Jamie Dornan, because that's not fair to him, because he's a really good actor.
He did
so
better work
on
Once Upon a Time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. But do you think it is an attraction to power? Because there are instances, and women are attracted to the real serial killers, and is it an attraction to the power behind it? Because you watch him, you said, strangle somebody, and you're like, is this twisted? But there is something about it that is oddly alluring because it's the power behind
it. Okay, so I think so. But for me, it's the smart. It's the intellect.
Yeah.
There's sheer genius behind certain serial killers, especially the ones that are able to go undetected for years and
yeah.
years and move state to state. I'm sorry that I have a soft spot for Hannibal Lecter. You sort of like, he gets away at the end and you're like, yes. And he calls Clarice on the phone and you're like, oh my God, he got away. Like, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with us.
Well, CW had Vampire Diaries in the originals?
Yeah, I've never
watched
them. So
the originals was a spinoff and there was a character, Klaus Michelson, who was, it's like the original vampires, and he was terrible. He was like, he killed everybody. He was just this monster of a person or a vampire, but you loved him and you wanted him to keep going and getting more people. And are you looking him up? Because he's also attractive, physically attractive.
You brought another character to my mind that I completely forgot about from a TV series called The Following with Kevin Bacon that only ran for 2, maybe 3 seasons on Fox. Wow, man, was this show nutso. It felt like The Purge in a TV series,
ooh.
But also mixed with sort of like a cult complex.
Okay.
And there was a guy named, the character was Joe, and he's another one of these guys who is just so gosh darn handsome and just one step ahead of everybody that you're like, oh my God, like,
stop making bad guys good looking. It doesn't help us. It's like Jeffrey Dean Morgan in Walking Dead. I've never seen it. I only know him from Supernatural. But I could imagine I'd be attracted to the character because I like characters that are kind of jerky, have power, and are like the bad guys. I love them. I do. It's a
yeah,
problem.
I mean,
getting all
I
worked
would,
up. Oh, my God.
I would love to watch Dexter. I've never seen
no,
that.
No, don't
because...
do it.
Why?
Okay, so I only saw a few episodes of it. And I heard it goes from like bad to really good to bad again. But I found him boring. And that lost it for me.
Okay.
Because his voice is boring. But I found him to not be so alluring. And that was what I like about watching shows about serial killers is they're alluring.
Well, this guy who was kind of a cult mastermind and a serial killer, his name is James Purefoy, and he played the character Joe Carroll, who was the antagonist to Ryan Hardy, the protagonist, played by Kevin Bacon, who was the...
I'm sneaking over to look.
I don't know. I can't explain it.
Wait, what was he? Oh, he was in A Knight's Tale. He's the bad guy in A Knight's Tale.
Ugh, I hate that movie. I've never seen it. There's a girl in it. I don't like it. Shannon Sossamon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like her.
The reason I have this tattoo.
Shut up.
Yeah, the reason I have
from A Knight's Tale?
She was in a show called Moonlight.
You have Fleur-de-Lis. She's in that?
Yeah, she's in that. And in, her character had a Fleur-de-Lis branded on her shoulder blade in it. And I fell in love with the Fleur-de-Lis symbol because of a one season run show.
I'm sorry, I think he's so attractive.
Oh no, he wasn't the bad guy in Knight's Tale. He was the king or a prince in the Knight's Tale. He was a good guy.
Okay,
but he's good looking.
What
and
else?
He's British,
he
which makes him even hotter.
He's British, but oh my gosh! But again, another one that only lasted 3 seasons. I guess there's only so far a serial killer can go on TV before they cancel it.
But
okay, well, you know, this will bring us to the end of our podcast for today, but I think there's something here that needs to be explored into our psyche, maybe our obsession with serial killers, and what our own capabilities might be.
Possibly.
In real life. Mm-hmm. On the next Around the Mic, hey, if you like this podcast, subscribe so you always get alerts when we post something new. And if you've enjoyed it, please give us a good star rating because it really boosts our confidence. It helps us. You know, on those days where we may have pimples on our face, your 5-star rating might make us feel better. And if you have any comments on... or feedback on the topics that we've talked about today, or there's a topic you'd like us to discuss in the future, you can just email us through sojo1049.com or tweet us, sojo1049FM. We're all over social media. Thanks for checking out this episode of Around the Mic. You can catch Chelsea Corinne on Sojo 1049 weekdays from 10 to 3, and I follow her from 3 to 7. So we'll talk to you next time on Around the Mic.
Bye. Bye-bye.